This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa li salihin. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Today, we're going to cover the second lesson of the exquisite pearl. And inshallah, we'll start off with some questions first before we go into the lesson today. And today, I'm going to slow down the pace just a little bit. We'll speed up next week, the week after, bi'idhnillah. As we mentioned before, it's only 18 lines of poetry. Today, you should have memorized the first line, which is what? طيب سعيد الذين تجنبوا سبل الردى وتيمموا لمنازل الرضوان. That's what we're going to cover today, but we're going to go through the author's introduction first. By the end of the class, inshallah, we'll prepare for next week, making sure that you understand what you're memorizing. But I want you to memorize before class. It's very important. Come to class having already memorized. All right. So, who is the author of the book that we are studying? Anybody? Go ahead. Whoa, hold up.
Oh, the book that we're studying?
No. The author. Did you say Nasir ibn Abd al-Rahman? Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'idi, rahimahullah. When did he die? Ayuh, 1376 after the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. He was born when? 1307. When did he write the book?
1336.
1330. He wrote that 26 years. So it's 33. Huh?
Yeah,
1333. Okay, why does knowing the author matter? Why is that even a thing? Why do we care who the author is? Go ahead. Because you need to know who you're taking your knowledge from. Yeah?
Also, you need to know that the person you're taking knowledge from is qualified and accepted.
Nah. Because you need to know that the person that you're taking your knowledge from is qualified in the subject that you're taking from them. Right? So, what a lot of people may miss is that just like other fields of knowledge have specialties, right? And you're not going to go to a pediatric a physician that deals with children, so a pediatrician, and you need an open heart surgery, right? So, yeah, they're all physicians. That's not the right one to go to for that, right? And which actually leads us into our second point, which is, what is the title of the book that we're studying? Okay, The Exquisite Pearl. In Arabic, what's it called? Ad-Durra al-Fakhira. Ad-Durratul Fakhira. Okay, and it's explaining a poem, and what is that poem called? Go ahead. السير إلى الله والدار الآخرة. السير إلى الله والدار الآخرة. Okay. Which translates to what, by the way? Journey to Allah and the hereafter. Okay. Okay. How does the poem's title relate to the da'wah of the Anbiya? How does the poem's title relate to the call of the Anbiya? Yes. Tell you, all of the NBA came with that message. What's that message? That's what I want you to hone in on. Journey to Allah and the hereafter. All right, so but break that down for me. Break that down.
It first came with knowledge of Allah and His name and attributes.
Okay, so let's take that phrase to Allah. Okay, so the first thing that the messengers of Allah came with was to teach the people about Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is important because we live in a very anthropocentric type of ideology. Everything is about humans. Everything is about us, right? Very little focused on Allah Azza wa Jalla. So theocentric type of ideology is out the window, and everything is about me. Oh, why do you wear hijab? I wear hijab because it honors me. Huh? Right? Why do you fast? Fast because it makes me feel good, makes me feel spiritual, it makes me. Everything is about me. Right? Now, all of those things that are true, right? Hijab is honor. It's not why you do it. Fasting will make you feel better, make you feel more connected to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But is that why we do it in the first place? And I think it's very important that we get back as Muslims to Taslim, right? That we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it because Allah says so. I do it because the one that created me told me to do that. And then there are benefits that I get out of obedience in this life and in the next life, right? But it's really important that, you know, we begin to reprogram ourselves, especially because we live in a society that really pushes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So much so, I may have mentioned this last week, but I don't remember. But there are people who, Muslims, I mean, you know, people who claim Islam, but they're not that regular with their salat, but they're very regular with their yoga, meditation. Lish, because the salat, I don't get that much out of the salat. But when I meditate, I feel so good. It's not about you, and that's the problem. When you refocus, and you are an abd of Allah, and you internalize that, you'll reap the benefits because Allah knows better what's best for you. And you may think that, you know, in the same way, Subhanallah, that people may not eat healthy food because it tastes good, right? So the immediate pleasure that they get out of it does not bring about long-term benefit. And so similarly, when the people think that they're feeding their soul, oh, I'm going to meditate, whatever that means, okay? And that's what makes them feel good right away. But does that have the long-term benefits that it's supposed to have? The point here is that the messengers came to teach people about Allah Azza wa Jalla. So to Allah. Like, and what else? What was the second thing?
How to worship Allah.
Right. As-sayr ilay, right? The journey to him. How do you do what Allah Azza wa Jalla created you for? Right? How do you get to Allah Azza wa Jalla? Alright? And then what? And then to hear it. In other words, what? The rewards for those who travel that path, as well as the consequences for those who do not. All right? So this is how the title of the poem, As-Sayr ilallahi wa dar al-akhirah, traveling to Allah in the next life or the hereafter, that's how it relates to the major objectives or the da'wah of the messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Okay, number three, some of the sahaba said, we learned Iman before we learned the Qur'an. We learned Iman before we learned the Qur'an. And then we learned the Qur'an and increased our Iman. Like, what does that statement mean? Explain that. No. You can't just have 5% of the class.
We learned about the law.
Tayyip. Okay, so the Sahaba, they learned about who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. Tayyip, keep going. I want some more. Tayyip.
How can you believe a revelation coming down if you don't believe correctly in the one who sent it?
Okay, so how can we properly believe that the Quran, in the Quran itself, until we know about Allah Azza wa Jalla? All right, so in other words, to know the speech of Allah, you need to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla first. You need to believe in Him correctly. All right. Keep going. Go ahead.
You don't have like proper aqeedah, or like you read the Quran, you might misinterpret it wrong or what have you.
Okay, so if a person doesn't have the proper guidelines through the knowledge of aqeedah, then they might interpret the Quran wrong. We learned iman first. Keep going. Yeah, Ali.
Okay. You said that there's a, for lack of better terms, protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And going like everybody doesn't take the same methods, but there has to be a method.
Okay.
As far as learning iman first, and then going into the Quran after learning iman, because that building of iman. That understanding iman helps build the iman when they start learning the Quran.
Okay, all right. So, that's close. Anybody else? Anybody else want to take a stab at it?
The basics of iman as far as like belief in Allah, his angels.
Okay, so the basics of iman, belief in Allah, his angels, the last day. Right, so the idea is this. Everybody needs a teacher. Everybody needs to be able to observe. Somebody that takes them by the hand, that walks them through things. Do you learn tawakkul because you read in the Quran, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, يعني, upon Allah, let the believers put their trust. Type, how do I know what that actually looks like? How do I know what reliance upon Allah looks like? So I see it in practice, right? So now when I learn the Quran, now that increases my iman, all right? Which iman has those different levels. The point here is the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum emphasizing the importance of a role model. We learned iman. How? Like Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching them iman without teaching them the exact words of the Quran. They were learning iman through his practice, through his teachings, right? So without actually learning the actual phrases of the Quran, the ayat, they were still learning iman. Their hearts were being nourished, right? And I mean, this concept of having a role model is repetitive in the Quran. It's in every surah to al-Fatiha, because you say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim and you don't stop. And Allah Azza wa Jal, yani, in surah al-Fatiha, he's teaching us about role models. Because he says what? Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those whom you have favored. Which is explained in Surah An-Nisa, min al-Nabiyyin, was-Siddiqeen, was-Shuhada, was-Salihin, from the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous, right? The sincere, and the martyrs and the righteous. So knowing their path is important. Right, and even Allah Azza wa Jal told his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow the millah of Ibrahim, and ittabi' millata Ibrahim hanifa. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, there's a surah in the Quran that mentions seven nations of the past, seven prophets that were sent to those nations. And then, at the end of that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those are the stories of those prophets that we tell you, that we recite to you, to make your heart firm. To make your heart firm. Because even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself needed those examples. What surah is that? Huh? I have three surahs in a row that all have names of MBA. It's the middle one. That. Surah Hud. Nah. Like, what's before Surah Hud? Yunus, after Surah Hud, Yusuf. Three surahs in a row named after prophets. The middle one is Hud. Tayyib. Yani the point here is that we learned Iman, and this is the part that we're talking about here, okay, and why this book is so important and it's important to study it and learn it is because we all need to take from the people who came before us, from those scholars who treaded this path, learn Iman. Tazkiyah is an ilm that has to be learned, right? And that was the point that we covered last week. Last question, which is, What are manazil? How many are there? Explain your answer. Yes. Right. So manazil is the plural of manzila, which is a station. So manazil are stations. Okay. How many are there? Right. Why are we talking about manazil in the first place? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, because we're talking about a journey, right? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually, when he approached Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and took him by the shoulder, he said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil," right? Be in this life as if you are a stranger or a commuter. Like, what's the difference between a stranger and a commuter? What's the difference between gharib and abir sabil? Or like the Sheikh said the other day, "Hatta bil inglesi matafam?" Go ahead. Astaghfirullah. Go ahead.
A stranger is someone that doesn't know the place, so they're not going to try to familiarize themselves too much, and they're not going to be there long.
Okay, so a stranger is somebody who is residing in a place but is not from that place, doesn't intend to be there too long, right? Go ahead.
And then a commuter is someone who, they know they're passing by.
So a commuter is just somebody just passing through, right? They're just passing through. So which one is like even stronger? The one that's passing through. That person has no attachment to the place, right? Abir sabil, just going through, right? Doesn't really matter. They don't have any attachment to the land. The gharib, somebody that's a stranger in the land, they still may try to set up camp, you know, for a little bit because they plan on being there for a while, right? But they're not like the person that's attached to the land. Right, a person that feels like they're of the land, in the land. You know, that's them all day. They're ready to die for it. You know, all of that stuff. Okay, type. So how many manazil? Oh, so this is why we're talking about stations, right? Because a person who's traveling, a person who's on that journey, there's stations on the journey. There's milestones that they get to. They can stop here and refuel, keep going. So it's stations, all right? Until they get to their to where they want to go. How many stations are on that path to Allah Azza wa Jalla? Yes.
There's an opinion. Some of them say 100.
Okay. Difference of opinion. Some say 100. Right? That's always the right answer when you say it's difference of opinion. Right? Right. In a lot of things. Not in everything. Right. Anybody else? Right. We spent some time with this. Yes. Oh, 12. Inshallah. Okay. Anybody? We really do have a difference of opinion now. Anybody else? Yes. Play. What do you say? Well, I heard somebody back there. Play. That's the correct answer. The correct answer is there is no number, right? There is no binding number, let's just say, right? So you will find from the ulama those who mention numbers, and the most that we can say about them is that that's based on their experience, right? That's based on their experience and their extraction from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the Sunnah of His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But that there is no binding number. Nobody can come and say you have to. There's 100, and you have to go this before you get the Jannah and that type of thing, right? Like. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start, we'll reread the introduction because it flows into the next part, inshallah ta'ala. Na'am. Tafadhal.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Reading from the exquisite pearls correctly. The introduction. All praise be to Allah, Lord of the world. May Allah extol and send blessings upon his Messenger Muhammad and upon his family, companions, and followers. These are some brief but beneficial comments to my poem regarding the journey to Allah and the home of the hereafter, explaining its meaning and clarifying its premises. The poem encapsulates the main stations, manazil, for the wayfarers to Allah, which should lead them to the gardens of delight and to the closeness of the munificent Lord.
Type, stop there. So here he says this poem encapsulates the main stations for those who are traveling to Allah, and that is the point here, right? So we mentioned before that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi, and we're going to read something from Ibn al-Qayyim today, inshallah, that he explained Manazil al-Sa'irin, the Ismail al-Harawi, rahimahullah, in probably the largest book that deals with Manazil, which is Madarij al-Saliqin, Madarij al-Saliqin. And in this poem, basically is a summary, like a super summarized version of Madarij al-Saliqin. All right, so we're going to cover those main stations bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and this is why we mentioned last week that this is a primer on tazkiyah. All right, now
it should also safeguard them from the torment of the hellfire.
Malish, before you go, he says to the gardens of delight and to the closeness of the munificent Lord, and this, subhanallah, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that the believers strive for, and it's a dua that's found in the Quran. Anybody know that dua? The author says that that these stations should lead to something. That is what? If a person follows these stations, they should lead to gardens of delight, yani Jannah, and also closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. The dua of Asiya, alayhi salam, where she said, Rabbibni li indak, my Lord, build for me close to you, near you. Before she specified what she wanted built, she specified where she wanted built. Rabbibni li indak, build for me close to you, near to you, baytan fil jannah, a house in Jannah. وَمِنْهُ يُقَالُ الْجَارُ قَبْلِ الدَّارِ. Right? From here they say that the neighbor is before the house. Right? Look who your neighbor is before. You have a real nice house, but if your neighbor is a shaitan, you're not going to enjoy living there. Man.
It should also safeguard them from the torment of the hellfire and from the anguish of being veiled from Allah.
The anguish of being veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. They, the kuffar, are going to be veiled from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is one of the greatest punishments, is that they don't get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
I beseech Allah by His benevolence and bounty that He caused this work to be purely for His face and for drawing closer to Him.
We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that all of these gatherings and this explanation and our attempt to learn are also purely for His face and help us to draw closer to Him. Amen.
Station number one, the awakening. Realize that what is intended by worship ibadah is to serve Allah.
I know it's a recurring theme, but there's an incorrect translation there. So the author actually says, "Wa'lam anna al-maqsuda min al-'abdi and not min al-'ibada." Okay? Realize that what is al-maqsudu min al-'abdi 'ibadatullah. Okay? That what is required from a servant, okay, that his whole purpose of existence is ibadatullah wa ma'rifatuhu wa mahabbatuhu wal inabatu ilayhi ala dawam. Type, go ahead.
And have, is that gnosis?
Gnosis. Yani, that's, I mean, usually that term is used because there's a sect or a way of the Gnostics, right? With a G, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics, right? they are supposed to have like a superior knowledge of whatever it is that they have knowledge of. It's just knowledge, yani, at the end of the day.
To know and have knowledge, ma'rifa of him.
So the worship of Allah and the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, at the end of Surah Al-Dariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Right? I have not created jinn and mankind except that they worship me. Okay, so Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us with his worship. And this is the purpose behind creation. And he also says at the end of Surah At-Talaq, لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Right, so Allah Azza wa Jalla created mankind for both knowing him and worshiping him. Right. And then, now, keep going.
Love him, continually turn to him in repentance, and to traverse the paths that lead to the abode of eternal peace. Dar es Salaam.
Now, so we're going to cover those stations of loving him in Tawbah and so forth. Now.
Most people are overwhelmed by their sensational pleasures. By sensual pleasures. And are subjugated by their cardinal desires and habits.
Oh, stop there. We're going to break this down. Because subhanAllah, even though this is not a long introduction at all, dealing with the awakening and dealing with ibadah. But you do have to take note of what he's saying here. Most people, the majority of people are overwhelmed. By what? Sensual pleasures. Okay? They are actually slaves to their desires and their habits. The reason why I want you to just like put a circle around habits. Most people, because they are creatures of habits and they just do them, if they are not able to transform their habits into things that are beneficial, then they're destroyed. All right, and this is what he's going to show that. And I'm mentioning this because this is a broad concept, and different people have different ways of switching their habits. But this is a broad concept of what? Ridding yourself of bad habits, developing good habits. Okay, and don't look at something habitual, the worship of Allah, being habitual. Don't look at that as being something negative. It's not. It's not. If it becomes robotic, then it's not that good. But habit and robotic and habit, they're not equivalent. So if a person has a habit of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, it's a good habit to have, right? If their habit is not to wake up until the sun rises, that's a bad habit, right? Those things have to change, right? If they have the habit of going to the masjid for Fajr, wherever they are on God's earth, that's a good habit, okay? If they approach the salat and they're not thinking about what they're doing in salat because they become robotic, that's different. You understand? All right, so habits are really important, and a person does not want to become subjugated to or slaves to their desires and their habits. Yeah.
They give no importance to this matter at all. Nor attempt to make it their basis. On the contrary, they turn away from worship and instead preoccupy themselves with their carnal desires. They abandon it and instead dedicate themselves to their worldly pursuits. They do not prevent themselves in order to make up for the time they have squandered. So in their ignorance and oppression, they are confused. With their soul's desires, they are diverted from being devoted to Allah. Concerning their Lord's remembrance, they are heedless in their religious practices. They are remiss, and in the drunken love of their habits, they are blind. They blindly wander.
Yeah, those who forgot Allah.
Those who forgot Allah, so He caused them to forget their own selves. Such are the corrupt ones.
Right. So, Nasrullah. طيب يا الذين آمنوا. Ayatul Hashr, the ayah that's before this one. Taqullah wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat li ghadin wa taqullah innallaha khabirun bima ta'malun wa la takunu kalladhina nasullah fa ansahum anfusahum. So there's two things that are happening here. all right, just to take it back. The first is those who are constantly engaged in some form of muhasabah. Alright? وَلْتَمْضُ النَّفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Let every soul look to what is put forth for tomorrow. Those are the people who what? Who are remembering. And don't be like those who what? Who forgot. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. They forgot Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. And so Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to forget themselves. What does that actually mean? He caused them to forget themselves. What's that actually mean? Yeah. To forget that they're slaves of Allah. Yeah. So there's a broad term. So they forgot their purpose in life. They forgot that they're slaves of Allah. What?
They continue to let them do what they want to do.
Let them be. Allah leaves them to themselves. They forget their own masalih. They forget what's beneficial to them. All right? That's the broad category. It's beneficial to remember that you're a slave of Allah. It's beneficial that you remember that you're going to stand in front of Allah. It's beneficial to remember the worship of Allah. All of that's beneficial. Allah, because they forgot Allah, al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. Right? That the reward, and reward in the English language does not just mean something good. And jazat in the Arabic language does not just mean something good. So reward is the consequences of a person's action. So a person, al-jazat min jinsil amal, the reward is going to correspond to the action. That's a rule in Islam, right? So for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, man satara Muslimin, whoever covers a Muslim, conceals that person's faults. What? Satarahu Allahu fid dunya wal akhirah. Allah will cover him in this life and the next. Wallahu fi aun al abd. Allah will continue to aid his servant. Huh? Ma kana al abdu fi auni akhi. As long as a person is aiding his brother. Nasullaha. فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, so Allah what? Forgot them. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. So he caused them to forget themselves. Right? You understand? So, الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. Okay, so here, what I want us to recognize is that the author is basically telling us what Allah told us in the Quran. And that is that there's only two categories of people. Alright? When Allah talks about the Qiyamah, he says, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. There are those who are wretched, miserable, and there are those who are happy. That's it. There's no third category. مِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. Like, who are the happy, the successful ones? They are those who are awake. They are awake. And then there's the other category that is sleep, negligent, heedless of Allah. Those people are wretched. Tayyip, what did he say about the people who are asleep or heedless? He gives us their qualities here. What is that? What are their qualities? He mentions it here. Just mention what you see. Okay, so they're owned by their desires. Tell you. In other words, what? Because this is important to understand. Maybe sometimes we don't even realize where we stand in the whole scheme of things. What does it mean they're owned by their desires? Yeah. Go ahead, just scream it out. They worship it. What does that look like, though? Worship my desire. What does that look like? Yeah. So, okay, so they... Well, what's that look like? Okay, so they miss Fajr to go to work. All right. That's a way. Huh? Like, they don't fast certain days of Ramadan so they can do football practice. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're constantly preoccupied with themselves, so therefore they leave off any obligations that they have.
Okay, so they... Being owned by desires means what? That the thing that moves you or that stops you is not the deen. What is it that wakes you up in the morning? Work? or Salah. Because that's going to define what actually owns you. Right? Why do you stay up at night? Is it for dunya or is it to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla? Right? What is it that moves you or stops you? That's what defines, right, what you're owned by. It also mentions that, or some of the other qualities, just so that we can see, is that the person's love and hate is for the dunya. It's transactional. Who they love and who they hate is dunya-based. All right? And that's also something that's very, very important to recognize. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, when describing these people in the Quran, he said that they have eyes, but they don't see with those eyes. They have ears, but they don't really hear with those ears. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. But they have hearts, but they're not hearing with those hearts. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are like cattle, except that they are actually more astray. Why? Because at least cattle do what they were created for. Right? And these ones don't. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are the ones that are heedless, negligent. They're sleeping. Right? The opposite of الْيَقَظَةِ. They do not have wakefulness. Tell you. Yeah.
None take heed of this dire neglect and this enormous calamity except for the few who possesses intelligence and nobility.
Notice that he says the few. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. The very few of my servants, my slaves, are actually grateful, actually appreciative. Why? Because they haven't woken up. They're not awake. They take for granted Allah's with those favors. And we'll talk about that in a second, inshallah ta'ala. But he, Sa'di rahmatullah alayhi, points out that they are few so that we remember that they're few. So that we're not latastawhish min qillati sadikin. Yani, don't feel like you're lonely because there's so few people on the path. Right? Don't find that to be something strange. And don't be la taghtar, don't be fooled by kathratil halikin, by how many people are destroyed. Sometimes it's difficult. It is difficult. And this is why, again, everybody needs that role model. You need a circle of friends that are at least, you know, a few good men, as they say. Right? That think alike, that you can use, tasta'inu bihim. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was difficult for him from the very beginning when Jibril came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was so happy he was a messenger. That's what happened. He was scared. And he went back to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the one that comforted him. And then early on, you had the belief of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, when nobody else believed. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And that gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the strength on earth that he needed. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was strengthened by Allah azza wa jalla. But even with that, he needed people on earth that helped to strengthen him. And even from the Kufar. And his uncle, Abu Talib, who aided the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, in the beginning, protected him from the rest of Quraysh when they were on the attack. The point here is that qilla doesn't mean alone, right? A few doesn't mean you're trying to do this thing by yourself. That is a super difficult path, and people need other people. That's how Allah Azza wa Jalla created us. Al-mar'u qawiyun bi ikhwani, and a person is stronger with his brothers. And so that's where the concept of being tolerant of some of the faults that you may find with people who are like-minded doesn't mean that you're going to like every single thing about them, right? A person who is looking for perfection in his friends group will not have friends because they're not going to be perfect, just like you're not perfect. But the point is to be awake. So here, he says, they have none take heed of this except for the few who possess intelligence. Yeah, they realize?
They realize that the greatest loss lies in being preoccupied with that which produces nothing for its doer except predation and misery.
Yeah, so they realize that the greatest loss comes when you are preoccupied with the dunya, the end of the day. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Makanat ad-dunya niyatahu farraqa Allahu shamla." Whoever is makanat ad-dunya hammahu. Whoever's main concern is this dunya, farraqa Allahu shamla. Allah will cause his affairs to be scattered. Right? Now, ja'al al-faqra bayna 'aynay. Poverty will always be in front of him. That's all he thinks about. Is scared to be poor. لَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And nothing will come to him from this dunya, نَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ, except with that which has already been written for him. So they realize that, why am I going to be preoccupied with nothing that brings, with this thing that just brings me misery? There's nobody preoccupied with the dunya that's happy. No.
Therefore, they prefer the perfect to the imperfect. They trade the ephemeral for the eternal. And they bear the burden of legal responsibility, taklif, and worship until it becomes a source of delight for them and a part of their very nature.
Stop there. By which they become leaders. Okay, so the point, look, so what he's saying is that these people who are not heedless, the people who have reached that level of the awakening or wakefulness, these are their qualities. They trade in the imperfect for the perfect. They sell the dunya because they want the hereafter. So this dunya is in their hands. It's not in their hearts. Right? They give for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't worry about how to just get more and more. Okay? Even if it comes through haram means. And so they trade all of that for the eternal. And they bear the burden of taklif and worship. Meaning, they deal with the difficulties of worship, and there's some difficulty associated with worship. Not abnormal difficulty, but there's some difficulty. When you get up for Fajr, if that's not what you're used to, it's difficult in the beginning. But then what? Until it becomes a source of delight for them. So they enjoy the salah. It becomes a part, as he says, a part of their very nature. Or as we talked about before, it becomes their habit. Okay? Whereas the bad things used to be habitual, now good things become habitual. Okay? Because they, like Sufyan said, or other than from most of the early scholars, جَهَدْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَى قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ 20 سَنَةً. Right? I don't even understand what that means. Okay? But he struggled against his own self. His own nafs, 20 years. What does that look like to pray PM a late? I mean, if you think about it, if you think about a person that does that, 356 lunar days, right, times 20, and they just keep pushing themselves, right? I mean, 7,000 times, or whatever, pushing myself to pray PM. ثُمَّ تَلَذَّذْتُ بِهَا. And then I enjoyed it. I tasted the sweetness of it. And Iman has a sweetness. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. Right? That person will taste the sweetness of Iman. مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ هَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. Whoever Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to them than others. And to the end of the hadith. I mean, the point is, there's a sweetness. If a person is sick, they're spiritually sick, they're not going to taste it. Just like a person has a cold. It doesn't matter how sweet the dessert is, they're not going to taste it because they're sick. A person who is spiritually sick is not going to taste the sweetness of Iman. That person who has it, they're gonna delight in it. So like he said, the worship becomes beloved to them. And I'll put it to you like this and then we'll call it a day, inshallah. If any of you have made Hajj and experienced calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Arafah, right? Mind you, as Allah azza wa jalla describes the people in the Hadith al-Qudsi, disheveled, dusty, dirty, exhausted. Yet, subhanAllah, there's a sweetness to that that is not something that can be articulated. It's just something that has to be experienced. You can't articulate it, right? Yani, even though it's difficult, you're bearing the burden, as he says here, legal responsibility and worship. But you can look around and you see millions of people, and you know that they're all experiencing some type of delight and joy, right, with that. Ramadan comes, and all of the Muslims are excited for Ramadan, right? And the people that have never fasted before, which is the majority of the people, right, here in America, trying to figure out, why are you so happy about starving yourself? That's the way they look at it, right? Listen, what makes you so happy about starving yourself, all right? And then, if you think about it, and this is one of the greatest qualities of the people who are awake, that are going through this yaqadha, is that they believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So they believe in the unseen. And so you'll see the believers striving in the last 10 nights for what purpose? What are they looking for? Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. Unseen. Belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it's belief in the unseen. Belief that there's this thing called Laylatul Qadr. Is it Iman bil Qadr? Belief in the unseen, right? And you're striving and you're pushing yourself. And the majority of khalqillah couldn't care less. And you know what? You couldn't care less that they don't care, right? Because you're awake at that point, subhanAllah. And everybody, again, is only two categories. You're either awake or asleep. Even though there are levels to each, even though there are levels in each type. So in this last part here, the author, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions that there are some people who do wake up and they do not want to sell the permanent, yani the hereafter, for which transitory. They're not selling their hereafter for this dunya. And so they endure the difficulty associated with worship until it becomes natural and enjoyable. And I kind of want us to look at both of those points before we move on to the sifat. In other words here, when he talks about natural and normal, he's not talking about, as we mentioned before, it becoming mechanical, but he's talking about it becoming their comfort zone, right? Such that when they are not in that state, they're uncomfortable. Like what? Like a fish taken out of water. It can survive for a little bit, but what's happening? What happens when you take a fish out of the water? It just sit there like this? What's happening? It's flat because it's uncomfortable in that state. It wants to go back into the water. And so a person who wakes up from that stupor of being heedless, right? It's not to ever say that they will never be heedless, but as soon as they start feeling that neglect, they get uncomfortable. And they're not comfortable until they get back into the state of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so that's what a person is pushing themselves for. And they push themselves to the point that they will enjoy it bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Like some of the salaf used to say, أَقُولُ لَوْ أَنَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَنَا أَنَا فِيهِ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Think about that. If the people of Jannah, if the inhabitants of Jannah are experiencing what I'm experiencing right now, then they are living a good life. He's on the dunya. He's in the dunya. And he's saying, if the people of Jannah, if they feel what I feel right now, they live what I'm living right now, then they're living a good life. SubhanAllah. In other words, and this is what the famous statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala means, inna fi dunya jannah. There's a jannah on this earth. Man lam yadkhulha lam yadkhul jannat al-akhirah. Whoever doesn't enter jannah in this life, the jannah of this life, will not enter the jannah of the next life. Because there's a feeling of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of real bliss that a person gets in this life that's only associated with the worship of Allah azza wa jalla. There's no other way to feel that. There's no other way to feel that. So then, you know, when to take it down to like a dunyawi level, if you will, when you talk about just the difficulty of worship becoming enjoyable, there are physical tasks that are difficult, right? That become so enjoyable to a person that they can't imagine not doing it, right? Think about marathon runners, right? People who work, that's what they do. They run marathons. Like, any of you like find that to be like something fun? I'm just going to go run 26 miles? No, seriously. Right? Okay, that doesn't sound fun. For them, they can't imagine not running 7-10 miles a day. And if they don't, they don't feel right. Right? Because they've gotten themselves accustomed, it's a physical thing, but they've gotten themselves accustomed to that difficulty to the point that it becomes something that they could not imagine living without. Like people who go to the gym on a daily basis and they push themselves to the max and they cannot imagine. In fact, they don't feel right if a day goes to 2 days, forget about it. They're going to have a whole heart attack because they can't go to the gym, right? And if they're not experiencing that, then something doesn't feel right. They enjoy what looks to the outside like they're punishing themselves, right? The noises that they make, the grunts and the, right? No judgment zones and all of that stuff. But what happens? If they move away from that, they feel like a fish out of water because they've grown to enjoy that. This is what the author is talking about with the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Though there may be some difficulty, you will grow to enjoy it and it won't feel right if you're not doing it. That's part of this sayr ilallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani part of that journey to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so then the author says, so listen attentively to their description, these people, okay? And seek the help of Allah in adorning yourselves with their traits. Seek the help of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And don't think that it's just going to be because you're trying very hard. Nah, trying is part of it, but you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to seek His aid in becoming amongst those people. And as he says, listen attentively to their description. And the first thing that he's going to talk about is that they are the people who are happy, Sa'idah. And this is why some of them said that this poem can be also titled Sifat As-Su'adat, right? The characteristics of those who are Su'adat, happy and successful. This is not in your book, by the way. You might want to take some notes here. This is from the Manazil al-Sa'ireen that talks about wakefulness or the awakening. Yeah, go ahead.
Wakefulness consists of three parts. The first is the heart's beholding of the bounties of Allah, while despairing of ever being able to count them or realize their magnitude, thereafter busying the heart with the realization of His greatness in bestowing
graciousness.
His graciousness in bestowing them and coming to full recognition of one's failure and showing the necessary gratitude.
Okay, so I'm not going to do like a long explanation of this, but the first part is to recognize Allah's favors and to also recognize that you will not be able to count those favors or properly repay them, if you will, or properly show gratitude for those favors. And so that's when you recognize that it's all from Fadlullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His grace and His mercy. Recognize His bounties. Most of us take them for granted. We take the fact that we can breathe without a machine for granted. We take the fact that we see for granted. We take the fact that we can still hear. We take these things for granted. But even more so than that, Hidayat Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fact that He has chosen you for guidance. How many people have parents that are Muslim and they're not Muslim? Just because your parents are Muslim does not mean that you take Hidayah for granted. And for those of us who accepted Islam, then for sure, bi'idhnillah, you won't take he die it for granted and recognize that that is the greater favor of Allah than any of the faculties that you have or anything else. It's not, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be guided. But Allah, manna alayk. So when you realize that this is a favor from Allah, like right now, you're sitting in the masjid. So many other people that say that they're Muslims, they're not here. Many of them are not going to pray Salah today, Shah. Fadlan an kuffar. Those who just totally reject Allah Azza wa Jalla. But Allah blessed you. Allah blessed you to be in the house of Allah. Honey, this is a great favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Great hidayah that deserves thanks. And then when you realize that you can't thank Allah enough, because even your ability to thank Him and recognizing His favor is a favor from Him, and you realize that it's not going to stop. Honey, in other words, that there's no way that you can properly show gratitude. And you just realize that this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla's grace upon you. Second part.
The second is observing one's transgression and understanding its danger. Thereafter, rushing to control it, rid oneself of its grasp, and seek salvation by cleansing oneself of it.
And this is really important, and that is to recognize your own shortcomings, your sins, your transgressions against Allah Azza wa Jalla, which requires some level of muhasabah. Right? And this should be done as much as possible, daily basis, just to really actually recognize, yeah, that was not correct. Shouldn't have done that. Not to the point of despairing of Allah's mercy, but so that you will be more sincere in your tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says, rushing to control it. It's what we call damage control. Right? Damage control for your sins. To get a grasp of it. Seek salvation by cleansing oneself. The cleansing is through what? Through tawbah. The control is through damage control. Istighfar. Al-hasanat al-mahiyah. Right? Doing good deeds that will erase the bad deeds. Right? But that total cleansing is through really returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the difference between tawbah and istighfar? Okay, so with tawbah, you have that firm resolve that you're not going to commit that sin again. Whereas with istighfar, that resolve may not be there. But you're still asking Allah to forgive you, though you don't feel like you have the power yet, right, to not go back to that sin. All right? Tell you, which one is better? Tawbah. Tawbah, without a doubt, is more powerful than istighfar, but both of them are necessary. Both of them are necessary. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib, third.
The third is paying attention to the passing of the days and the consequence, the consequent gains and losses one accrues throughout them. Therefore, abstaining from wasting them, and instead being protective of them, so that he or she may make up for what he or she missed of them, and make the most of what remains.
In other words, valuing time. You cannot reach this station of being awake until you value time. If a person constantly wastes time, then that person is neglectful. Person hasn't reached this station yet. They haven't awakened yet. Value time. Recognize the passing of the days. Innama anta ayyam. Ya ibn Adam, as Al-Hasan al-Basri said. Innama anta ayyam. You are but days. Idha dhahaba yawmun, dhahaba ba'duk. When a day goes, part of you goes. Right? So recognize through the passing of the days and the consequent gains and losses. Every day you are either gaining, like your scale with Allah Azza wa Jalla, good deeds or bad deeds, the good deeds are either getting heavier or the bad deeds are getting heavier. Waliyadu billah. Equal, stagnant is really not a thing. I mean, conceptually, it's a thing. But in general, a person is either climbing that ladder towards Allah Azza wa Jalla, or they're going down, right? So recognizing that on a daily, taking advantage of your seconds, right? What's 1440? What is 1440? Nah. No, not seconds in a day. Well, it is actually. No, no, it's not seconds in an hour. 1440 is the minutes in a day. There are programs built on 1440. How do you take advantage of your minutes? Of your minutes. Tight. Allahumma sta'an. It's time for the Iqamah, huh? Yeah. All right. Khair, inshallah. We'll very quickly before the Iqamah is called. We'll go over the two lines for next week. I want to pick up the pace for next week, inshallah. All right, so we will cover these two lines next week, and I want you to know, be able to pronounce them properly. فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ أَخْلَصُوا فِي مَشْيِهِمْ طيب. يلا. For those of you who are memorizing, which inshallah is most of you, just start repeating, inshallah. Yeah.
The one I memorize is فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ قَدْ
أَخْلَصُوا. Yeah, even me. We'll take this. Yeah, actually, that is what it... There should be a qad there, by the way. Qad. So you'll see in a second. Just repeat after me. Fahumu alladhina. Qad. Even though it's not written. Akhlasu. Fi mashyihim. Tayyib. Mashyihim. Here, mashy is a say. Mashy means to walk... Say the journey. فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ قَدْ أَخْلَصُوا فِي مَشْيِهِمْ. All right, so that means that here what the author is going to talk about is ikhlas, okay? They are those who أَخْلَصُوا فِي مَشْيِهِمْ, okay? They had ikhlas, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their journey. Repeat after me again. مُتَشَرِّعِينَ بِشِرْعَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. Okay, so mutashajjiina means that they are following the sharia of iman. Mutashajjiina bi shir'atil imani. طيب, I see Sheikh Hanif, you counting the syllables here? Make sure, because if qad is actually in there or not. طيب, ilmu al-urud wal-kawafi. طيب, next line, wahumu al-ladhina banaw. Beno is to yebni, to build, to establish a foundation, right? Manazila. What's manazil? Stations, the plural of manzila, right? Manazila sayurihim. Manazila sayurihim. Like, what's the sayur? The journey. It's similar to meshi, right? Him is them. طيب. بين الرجاء. And this is poetic license here because raja usually has a hamza at the end. So raja is to hope. Wal khawfi. طيب, and khawf is what? Fear. Bain al raja wal khawfi. طيب, so between fear and hope. Liddayani. طيب, as you can see, that's not in the translation. Who is a dayan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about what a dayan means from deen. طيب, again, just listen up. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ بَنَوْ مَنَازِلَ سَيْرِهِمْ بَيْنَ الرَّجَى وَالْخَوْفِ لِلْدَيَّانِ. طيب, I don't think we shared. Inshallah, we'll share a salty. You have it? Which one? Yeah, Sheikh Abdul Aziz. Aziz Sini. I like his the best. So, yeah, take that one, inshallah ta'ala. If it can be shared, I don't know if there's a group. Okay, perfect. Alhamdulillah. All right. So you can listen to that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Make sure you finish up to the end of 3 by next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And we'll continue. Wallahu ta'ala. Adam, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.